Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello, you guys. Okay, I wanted to make sure I was in the Facebook group. So I hope y'all are having an awesome Tuesday. I don't have my mic on, so hopefully y'all can still hear me. And I have dirt all on me. I don't know if y'all can see that, but I have been working in the yard. It's such a beautiful summer winter day, am I right? It's 75 degrees here in good old West Texas, y'all. Can y'all believe that? It's 75 degrees. We're, a little over a week away from Christmas, and it's 75 degrees outside. What the? So I am taking full advantage of the summer winter days and working out in the yard. Why not, right? So just kind of looking at the weather for the week. Wednesday, 78 degrees. It finally drops a little bit Thursday and Friday. Saturday, at one point, they were showing snow showers, but that's gone. It's still going to be in the low 50s. But then it's saying by Thursday, we're going to be back in the mid-70s for a high. It's just crazy. So anyway, I don't know about y'all, but I have been enjoying the summer winter days or spring winter days. I guess summer's a little over-exaggerating it. But I've been enjoying those days and just kind of working in the yard and getting some sun on my face and all that good stuff. So anyway, let me know how your day is going. Let me know what you've been doing on this beautiful summer winter day. I am drinking some good old water. Let me know what's in your mug or cup today. And let's just dive in. We are on day 12, Pride and Presentation. And because I don't have my mic on, before I start this, let me make sure you can hear my audio. Because I've done that already on the study where I've gone through the whole study and I didn't finish it. You couldn't hear me. Let's see. Okay, perfect. Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. So say hello. I see some people have logged on. Say hello. Let me know you're here. Let me know how your beautiful summer winter day is going. And let's just dive in. Okay, Pride and Presentation. Today's reading, Luke 12. Other passages to ponder. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Matthew 10, 26. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Proverbs 29, 25. I want to look beyond my preferences and admirations, my insecurities and assumptions, my appraisals and fears. I want to stop asking, how does this person see me? And instead understand, how can I really see them? Holly Girth. Years ago, we attended a Christmas party that left me feeling discouraged, frustrated, and judgmental. The pomp and circumstances nauseated me because I happened to know that the employees who worked for this couple struggled with a heavy load and made minimal wages while the couple lived with opulence and privilege. I didn't want to be there. I love Christmas time, and for the life of me, nothing about this gathering felt festive or Christ-like. They impressed and intimidated most everyone at the party. I, in turn, judged them. Not the right reaction, I know. I don't blame them. My bad attitude came from within me. But it's interesting how the seeds of pride never bear good fruit. In today's scripture reading, the crowds elbowed and shoved their way to get a good look at Jesus and hear what he had to say. Jesus' eyes scanned multitudes, and then he focused on his disciples and said, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be known, made known to all." Luke 12:1-2. Pharisees prided themselves on being large and in charge. They were the ones who established the standard and judged those who fell short. They presented themselves one way but lived another. They appeared to be holy, but they were corrupt to their core. Maybe they started out with hearts for good for God, but in due time, they fell in love with the power, the leverage, and the accolades that accompanied their role. They loved their rules, but not the people entrusted to their care. It's easy to stand at a distance and roll our eyes over such arrogance. But Jesus warned his disciples, and he warns us for a reason. Left to our own devices, many of us are inexplicably drawn to being in control or an important role. Nothing wrong with that when you're a natural born leader, but there's everything wrong with it when you want the position for how it serves you and not so you can serve others. How many ministry leaders, if they're honest, crave the attention they receive when they walk into a room or an event? But it's not just ministry leaders. How many moms love to be the center of a neighborhood conversation? How many corporate climbers vie for position because they want to be the one calling the shots? It's impossible to love others when your goal is to impress them. We're not capable of serving others when we have an insatiable appetite to be served, lauded, and hailed. Jesus first warned the disciples about the leaven of pride and hypocrisy. Then he took it a step further and told them, "Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear." Luke 12:3. Jesus cautioned them, basically saying, if you allow this leaven to infect your soul, if you become someone who says one thing and does another, if you grow to love man's praise more than you do my glory, if you start to care more about your image than you do the lowly and the hurting in your midst, well, in due time, your hypocrisy will come to light. Beware of the leavens. Even the smallest bit can ruin your soul. Let that sink in for a moment. God is so opposed to pride that he'll expose it whenever he finds it, even when it's in the heart of a believer. This puts the fear of God in me. When pride sees into our soul, it pushes out fruit that will always honor us and dishonor God. When we develop an appetite for power, position, or presentation, we will justify or spiritualize many things to hang on to our idol. It's sobering to fathom that if there's any private scheming to put ourselves above others, it will one day come to light. In this instance, Jesus charges his disciples to beware of and guard against such influence. In other words, Jesus is saying, follow my example. Love people, hope in God. Your name is written in the book of life. Man's praise and admiration are dust compared to such a glory. Don't get infected with the worldly lust for power that grows in the dark. It'll destroy you. It'll also expose you. One day, it'll be brought into the light. In another instance, Jesus spoke of darkness and light, but from a different angle. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus prepared his disciples for persecution. Read what he said to his followers and notice how he uses some of the same words to convey a completely different message. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Matthew 10:26-27. In this instance, Jesus charges his disciples, all I've taught you in the shadows, step into the light and proclaim it for the world to hear. What I whisper in your ear, steward it, apply it to your life, teach it to others. Don't shrink back in the face of prideful posturing leaders. Do not fear them. Leaven grows in the dark and will one day be brought into the light for all to see. The words you've heard me tread in the dark will one day be broadcast for the world to hear. All tribes, nations, and tongues will know that I am God. Don't wait until that time to live brave and bold. How much precious energy do we waste trying to impress others? How often do we give precious mental space to what others might think of us? How often are we intimidated by people in positions of power? Luke chapter 12 follows an interesting progression. First, Jesus cautions against the leaven of the Pharisees. Guard against every kind of greed. Jesus said, then he addressed worry and its damaging impact to the soul. Don't strive for position. Don't worry about positions. Then he brings it home. Live ready for my return. You want to see splendor and fanfare. When the skies open up and the King of Glory returns, the whole world will know it. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is and always has been who he says he is. Try to picture every person on the earth and those who've passed from this life to the next, all on their knees, trembling in awe. Now imagine that same King, our smiling Savior. He ushers you into a royal banquet where he spares no expense. Picture opulent table settings and candle broth, music, food, and fellowship galore. Celebration, tears of joy, and stories all around. There will be no prideful posturing or pretense, just holy awe and wonder that by God's grace, we are heirs of God. We have a seat at the table of grace. For those he finds full of faith, about his business, living expectantly for him, Jesus promises that when he returns, he will put on an apron, pull out a chair, and serve us as his guests of honor. I love that so much. Prepare him room. King Jesus, show me my heart. Keep me close to you. I refuse to be intimidated by those who idolize their position and who misuse their power. Help me to stay confident with a humble, pure heart. I trust you to make things right when the time is right. Help me to confidently shine a light on all you've taught me. I want to walk that narrow path of holy confidence and humble dependence. I will follow you, Lord. Amen. Look up. Fast from intimidation. Guard your heart against cynicism. Refuse inferiority and insecurity. Embrace holy confidence. This is such a great one, and I think it's definitely one that's needed amongst ministry leaders. And I think it's good to take a reading like this and to do a heart check, especially if you are in ministry, especially if you do speaking engagements, or if you're an influencer on social media and your goal is to spread the word of God, but do a heart check. I mean, I do a heart check often because there was once upon a time when I was doing pageants. I was a pageant queen, and I had won Mrs. Lubbock twice. I was reigning Mrs. Lubbock twice, and then I was reigning Mrs. Vancouver, Washington, and then the last pageant I was in, I was crowned Mrs. Oregon International, and so that was the first time that I had gotten a state title. And during that year, I was getting ready for the international pageant part of it. Well, I guess actually national part of it to go on to international. But anyway, as I was preparing for nationals, I was like really getting obsessed with weight and with I'm forgetting what they're called now. It's been so long since I've been in a pageant. Appearances, because I had to have so many appearances based on my platform. And I was getting really caught up in a lot of the negative things that I just realized, like I had woken up one day and I was like, this is not me. And this is not what I want. And this is not how I want to honor this opportunity. And so I did start to shift it in my head. Now, I ended up inevitably probably a couple of months after that moment, I did end up relinquishing my crown because I just realized like I am not fit for this at this season in my life, because there I kept going back. My ego kept coming up and I kept falling back into that, and I could sense and I could tell it was a struggle, and I did not want to walk in that struggle. I wanted to get freedom from the Lord. I wanted to find out what it was that was causing me to need that attention and to be utilizing that position. For me, it felt like an ugly thing. Like I was like, I don't want to utilize such a beautiful opportunity for my own ego or for my own attention. Like it just wasn't how I was going to honor God and how I was going to honor God in that position. You know, because pageantry is one of those, it's kind of blurred lines. Some Christians think they're okay. Some they don't. And this is why some don't think it's okay, because it's so easy to fall into that trap. So with all of that being said, I did a heart check. I did a heart check and realized I have to cut this off. The Bible talks about cutting your, you know, your left arm. I think it's your left arm. Let me see if I can pull up that scripture. But you know, it talks about cutting off the things that will cause us to sin. Let's see if I can find that scripture, because it's such a good scripture. And if you're right, Mark 5:30, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And that's how I felt at the time. That's how I felt when it came to pageantry, was I need to cut this off. It's better for me to cut this off for my life and to move along and to seek God and find out, why is that insecurity in there? Why couldn't I withhold this position in a God-honoring way? Because to me, it felt icky. It was ugly. It didn't feel right. I didn't like that feeling. And so with all of that being said, soon after that, I stepped back almost completely from speaking engagements, hosting events or any kind of community groups or anything like that. I stepped back. And even when we moved back to Texas, I think I did one, maybe two speaking events, in-person speaking events. And I felt fine about those. I felt great. I felt like there was, I realized that I had received a lot of freedom because I was simply speaking on the Lord. My heart was to build the kingdom, was to help women get freedom and to just bring the light of the Lord. It wasn't about me. It was about the Lord. And still I have still stepped back some, not because of that reason, but because I've just been in a season of really just honoring my role as a housewife and just embracing that and learning all I can about homemaking and housewifing and all of that stuff. Because I'll be honest, when I got married, I wasn't the best cook. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to learn how to bake. I wasn't the best at this role. And so this became the role that I wanted to really just really celebrate and honor and learn and be the best at it that I can be. And so I wanted to focus on it. So anyway, with all of that being said, it's okay to stop and take a heart check. Do a heart check. Ask the Lord, am I doing this for you? If you're, you know, trying to move up in your business or in your job in the corporate ladder, ask God why. Why do I want to move up in the corporate ladder? Is it for the financial stability to help my family? Is it so that way I can honor you and bring you glory and helping build the kingdom in that position? Or is it because I want the power? I want the power that comes with these roles. If you're going to school for something significant, like, you know, like a lawyer or a doctor or a psychologist or, you know, veterinarian, you know, whatever it is, if you're pouring into school, stop and have a heart check. Why? Why do I want to become a successful psychologist? Why do I want to be a successful lawyer? Why do I want to have my own practice as a doctor, as a physician? Ask yourself, have a heart check, and make sure that you're doing what the Lord has called you to do for the reasons that He has called you to do them. Because it's not bad to be successful. It's not bad to be speaking at events. It's not bad to, I personally don't think it's bad to be in a pageant, to be a beauty queen. I think that a godly woman can serve a very significant purpose as a beauty queen. And I have a lot of married friends who are in the Mrs. pageants. One of my friends was Mrs. Oklahoma. I have a friend that was Mrs. Texas. I have a friend that was Mrs. Washington. And so it's not a bad thing. There's a place for it. There really is a place, but you do have to do heart checks. You do have to check the intent of your heart and your decisions and make sure that God is calling you to that and that you are focused on that why and that reason. And if it feels icky to you, like it did for me when I was reigning Mrs. Oregon International, then do what you need to do to honor God the best. And for me at the time, it was to step down and relinquish my crown, to cut that off, because it wasn't serving God in any capacity. It would have served me. I could have gone on and competed in nationals, you know, perhaps done well, and maybe went on to internationals. I could have continued to grow my platform, and, you know, it could have served me well. But I knew at the time, discernment and wisdom were telling me this is not serving the Lord well, and this is not serving me as a woman of God well. So take inventory of your heart. And this is a great, great study to be reminded of that. So Stephanie Fleming, I'm not quite sure what your message was. You may be a bot. I'm not quite sure. I haven't really had those on here. I haven't really been heckled on here. But hey, there's a first for everything. So welcome, Stephanie Fleming. Even if you're heckling me, that's quite all right. You are welcome. You are welcome in here, even if it's heckling. And I hope that maybe a seed is planted for you. But I love y'all. And I hope that this helps y'all. I hope that if you are in a position, you know, or maybe if you're striving for a position, that you'll have that heart check. You'll ask God, why am I doing this? Why do you want me to do this? How will this serve you? How will this serve the kingdom of God? And how will this serve me as a woman of God? So I love y'all. Have a blessed afternoon. I'm going to go back and work on the yard.
For tuning into this episode, please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.